Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show. Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights. With tonight's guest from Revolution Movie, filmmaker Rod Stewart. Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky. And musical guest Michael Vince. I am Mark Leger. And now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I am feeling really good about our show today for many reasons. I'm feeling good because what we're going to be talking about with our guest actually has an exciting potential. And we're going to explore that together with our guest when we come back. However, I'm also excited because I remember being a kid and wanting to share things with my parents and with adults that I thought were important. And my parents and adults used to say to me, these are kids' thoughts. These things are not important, and you'll see when you grow up. And I said with confidence, and maybe arrogance, I know I'm right, and you all should be listening to me. And they said, well, when you're older, you'll be an adult, and you won't listen to the kids either. And in so many words, that's what they used to say to me. And I said, no, when I'm older, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm going to listen to the kids, because the kids are going to know things we don't know. And we've proven that here on the show before, but tonight is another great example. Here is somebody that's much younger than me, from a different generation, who's focused on something different than how I was raised. And I know he's right. And what he wants us to focus on is what we need to focus on. And so I am so glad that I made this reflection like, oh, in this regard, at least, I'm not a hypocrite. In this regard, at least, I am able to see truth as an adult and say, wait a minute, this is something we need to focus on and pay attention to and learn from somebody who has been studying this, who maybe came with a knowledge of this, or maybe wherever it came from, it's important for us today. So if I could do it, I know that people my age, younger or older, we could all focus on this and so many more important things. And let's get out of our arrogant modes. Let's get out of our we know modes. And let's start listening to each other, especially people with answers that have put them together in such a great way as this film, Revolution, to make people like me turn around and say, whoa. As if I wasn't there before, I'm definitely there now. And can't wait to get even more there and help you all get there when we have our conversation with our guest, Rod Stewart. And a little later on, we're going to hear some great music from a friend of ours, or Michael Vince. And you'll get the point on that as well. It's about time we get the point. We're going to start that conversation when we come back right after this.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. How do you feel about that, Mark?
When did you start referring to yourself as an adult?
Thank you. I take that as a big compliment.
What do I feel about that? I think this is one of the more important discussions and conversations that we've had. This film, the passion, the life that's been put into not only this movie, but Rob's former project, Sharkwater, which they're linked. It's part of the same movement that he's been so passionately behind. We're going to be talking about that. But this is an important discussion, and it's not from an alarmist perspective. It's from a realist perspective. It's a real, honest look.
Oh, it's alarming enough.
We can't, well, that's true. But we can't. We're not in a position to brush these things under the rug anymore.
Nope.
Just we're past that.
Nope.
And boy, does he do a good job bringing that to light.
You know, and I think part of why he does such, why it's like the culmination of so many things. He's an award-winning biologist. He knows his stuff. And he's a photographer. So the film just really brings you in. And obviously, the people that have seen Sharkwater, it was extremely successful, know what he does.
And he's Canadian, so he's obviously a heck of a nice guy.
Canadian. He's a good guy. He's a conservationist and, of course, a filmmaker. So we're really happy to have him here. Welcome to the show, Rob Stewart.
Thanks so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. And I feel like I already know you because of the film, and I can't wait to know you even more by watching also Sharkwater, which is kind of the prequel, actually, right?
Very much so, yeah.
Yeah, you kind of do that in this film. Like, you start there.
Yeah, Revolution is in many ways Sharkwater 2, but it's so much bigger, so it couldn't be termed as such. You know, when we started, I was 22 years old making Sharkwater, and I thought that if I could bring the public my impression of sharks, that they're magnificent, beautiful animals that aren't the maligned monsters that they've been portrayed, then maybe people would fight for their protection. Because shark populations dropped 90% in 30 years, and nobody noticed. So that had to be brought to the public. But by the time we were done releasing Sharkwater, you know, the community was saying, what you're doing is great, but you're missing the point. We're going to lose everything. Citing studies predicting, you know, the end of the world's fisheries, all the forests, and human survival being in jeopardy. So it was clear we had to make a bigger movie, and that's Revolution.
Well, actually, since we're on that, Sharkwater did have an impact, though.
Sharkwater did, yeah. When we made the movie, there was virtually no protection for sharks. There were no shark conservation groups. People, it was like championing the plague. You know, nobody wanted to keep sharks on the planet because why would you want to keep something around that's dangerous for you? And when Sharkwater came out, people responded to it, and they liked seeing this animal in a new light. And government policy changed all around the world, and now shark finning is banned in pretty well every country in the world. And wow. Shark fin imports to China dropped 70%. So, you know, it shows something beautiful about humanity, right? That we'll do the right thing if we know what's going on. And we're just in a crisis of education most of the time.
That's such a wise statement. It's and so true that, you know, for the in the name of profit, so much has been mismarketed in the past. And, you know, once you put it out there, you know, I'm glad you're able to touch people. And that's what this film does.
Right. And now this film is been many years in the making. Well, I have to say that I like the fact that you started with Sharkwater, because you also showed how you learned through this process. It wasn't like, okay, I got this information, I'm giving it to you, but you're doing what I said, actually, at the beginning. Come to think of it, it's in the film where this young girl asks you a question.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, she's right.
Yeah, so I spent 6 years thinking that the pinnacle of my achievement as a human could be saving sharks, and that by saving sharks, we'd be saving the longest lasting, most important predator the planet has. And then at the premiere of Sharkwater in Hong Kong, a woman says, why stop us from eating shark fin soup if we're going to wipe out all the fish by 2048 anyways? Totally stumping me and making me think that, you know, my last 6 years were worthless. But it gave me some energy, and because we did change the world with Sharkwater, it made me think that we have another story to tell, and if we can apply the same blueprint, maybe we can engage our morals and our humanity, and we'll engage in a better world that way.
So the last 6 years at that point were not worthless, because you were already in the running. I mean, it's like you got all that information. And when you started Sharkwater, you'd never made a movie. You didn't know how to make a movie. What'd you do, buy a book or something? Is literally,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, my girlfriend bought me two books on how to make movies.
Okay.
And I had right. Snatch and Emily on my laptop. So the book for the HD camera was like 3 inches thick, and I could read it and only understand 60% of the terms in it. But my book, my girlfriend bought me how to, you know, how to make documentaries and the five C's of cinematography. And when I got into trouble, I'd watch Snatch or Emily and see what they did. And
who needs film school?
Who needs film school? Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure if you went to film school, you could have made the movie faster and easier than I did. I made a lot of mistakes.
Good for you.
It's funny. You are a real guy, actually. We're sitting here having this conversation, and thanks for being with us in the studio. And your movie just premiered in L.A. last night. So that was a big success, and you've got people in town that are, you know, so you're doing all the publicity thing, and this is exciting time. So this is like at the beginning of what Shark Water was back then, only even bigger, right?
Yeah, now we're going to see what happens. Because, you know, shark water was an easy target. It was shark finning and shark fin soup and this Chinese delicacy. And it seemed relatively simple if people understood that their consumption of this dish was destroying one of the most important predators the planet has. They'd do something different. And they did. But now, revolution is about all of us. It's about our morals. It's about the evolution of humanity, where we're going. Are we going to make it? Are we going to live in a world of lack and starvation and crisis? You know, what are we on this planet? It's a bigger deal. So I don't know how the planet's going to respond. I think they're going to respond in a way, and I've kind of been banking on that. But, you know, it's a big leap of faith releasing this movie and releasing it in the way that we are. So we'll see what happens.
I love how you know, you don't know what it's going to be, but you're open to what it can be, and you're anticipating but the potential of it being something good, because I know we've talked about that, something amazing, and we'll talk about that a little later. But I just remember what I started to say is that in the movie, you're actually showing how you make mistakes, and it's just you put them in there for us to see them. It's like, who does that?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the self-deprecating Canadian, maybe.
No.
But also, like, you know, I think for me making a movie, because I took a big step into making Shark Water and rented these enormously expensive cameras, by the time I, you know, got partway into it, I was so in debt. Mm. But I was indebted to the process, you know, and I was committed to trying to do something good to change the world. And I think for any young person or anyone considering trying to work for good or make a change in the world, take a big step in that direction and you become indebted to the process, and that's going to force you to do something cool in the end. And we need big dreams right now.
You met some fascinating people in the process, from people who also really know their stuff to people who are highly visible that are championing certain causes. And in all of that, do you find that, well, you see you're not alone, right? Mm-hmm. And hopefully, as this film shows, we'll see you're not alone. In big numbers, you're not alone.
Yeah, this is the biggest movement that's ever existed. There's more than a million conservation groups all around the world that are not funded by the government, not controlled by the government, working for good to make this world a better place. And that's a force, you know, that no government or corporation could tackle. So I think we've got all the tools to solve these problems. We just, you know, it just needs a little bit more of a push.
I think your timing with Revolution is also spot on, in terms of you had a real, you were swimming upstream, pun intended, you know, in terms of having to educate people on something that nobody knew of, whereas there's a little bit more of an awareness, right, in terms of the problems in the oceans, all of the beachings that have happened, you know, the mass fish, you know, deaths that we've seen. And I think, you know, it's a little bit more of an awareness of this, and yet people are still not yet moved to action, which is what hopefully your film's going to do here.
Yeah, we hope so. I mean, the timing, we're right at the threshold where we've got to do something fast, but also people are understanding the issues, and it's starting to become clear that it's not hugging trees and saving pandas anymore. You know, we've got to save our life support system.
And that's the thing that's so big. Might as well just jump right into that. Is while watching the piece on the sharks, it's like, okay, well, we can stop. I've had shark fin soup this was many years ago in Hong Kong, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. And so it's easy for me to say, well, that, yeah, it was good, but I don't have to have that. I mean, why? This is ridiculous. So I don't have to have that. But with this film, Revolution, it's like, wait a minute, do I have to have these particular clothes? Do I have to have these particular shoes? Do we have to have energy in this particular way? right? I mean, do we have to have these particular products? It's our whole lives.
It's everything. Yeah. I mean, how we've built our civilization, the fundamentals of our society, we're built on growth. We're built on growth with no end. Our economy depends on it, and nothing in the natural world works that way without massive crashes. So we've got to do something, and it's not just changing light bulbs and buying a Prius. You know, we've got to become more educated consumers. We've got to ask where this stuff comes from, what's the impact of it. But we've also, as a species, got to consider how many people we want on this planet and what level of consumption we want to be living. Do we want 9 billion people living on this planet as sub-Saharan Africans? You know, living in huts and living really simple lives? Do we want 1 billion people living like we're doing right now? Somewhere in between there is where we might settle. But, you know, right now we're not making plans for that at all. So it's up to us to start taking action on that.
Managing. Education. You keep coming back to education, which is such a, you know, so it's the key word right now.
Yeah, because there's no government or institution that's guiding us to a world that works. Like, right now we're just running off a cliff. Right, without anyone going like this way, and there's some conservation groups and some people putting up their hands, but in general they're small and they're minorities, and one of the things that we're thinking about right now is the framework and the paradigm we've been in the conservation movement hasn't been effective. So because we've built this massive system of growth, and the biggest corporations in the world are oil companies and they're funding the governments, and we're immediately a radical if we're going up against that. You know, you say, let's try to slow down the oil industry, or let's slow down deforestation, and our ambitions are like 10%, 20%. Let's slow down the oil industry by 20%, reduce emissions by 10%. We're radicals for asking for that because we're going up against the system, right? And I think that's part of the reason why we're failing, is we're going up against something, and we're fighting against that world. But we need to fight for something and kind of rise above the level of the problem.
I should note that the movie is really called Evolution, and there's an R at the front of it, and it's revolution. I mean, it's definitely revolution, but I like how you make evolution stand out. So the revolutionmovie.com is where you can go to actually see this, or if you're on our website hearing this now, you'll probably see a link to being able to see it there as well through the Yekra platform. So by all means, see the movie, buy the movie, share the movie, gift it, have conversations about it. It's something that we need to start not just talking, but doing something about seriously right now. When we come back, we're going to be talking more with the director and producer, Rob Stewart, of Revolution, right after this.
He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of 4 and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen. And the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino, on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back, and I mentioned at the beginning of the show that this topic is exciting, and yet we haven't really gotten to the exciting part yet, and we're not really there yet, because I don't know that everybody is with us in thinking that there's even a problem.
It's true. Most people think that conservation is hugging trees and saving pandas, and climate change is rising sea levels in Bangladesh. We've been distracted from the real problem. And even people talking about climate change is a symptom of the problem. It's not the problem itself. It's like the cough when you're sick. And by trying to deal with climate change, we're putting our hand over our mouth when we're coughing and not curing the actual illness. The actual illness is there's too many people consuming too much, and we're drowning in our own effluent, and we've consumed our life support system. So the big issues on the planet right now, the biggest one, 99.9% of the planet probably is largely unaware of, because it was only discovered 8 years ago, and that's ocean acidification.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So most of the carbon dioxide we put into the atmosphere gets absorbed by the oceans. The oceans are 90% of the habitable space on planet Earth, 80% of life on Earth. They are the greatest controller of climate. You know, the oceans contain far more temperature and energy than the atmosphere does. So the oceans are the main driver of what goes on this planet. And when the oceans become more acidic, life in the oceans slows down, and the oceans are 30% more acidic than they were before the Industrial Revolution. And that means that animals in the oceans that build skeletons can't form. So that's coral reefs, that's fish, and that's phytoplankton, which is at least half of the oxygen in the air that we breathe. And ocean acidification has caused all the mass extinctions in the past, including the one that wiped out the dinosaurs 66 million years ago. So we're not even talking about the real issues yet. And we've got to. But, you know, from the center of these crises is opportunity, for sure. And that's the exciting part, I think.
Education. I mean, you bring it to light. And there are some things. And I've been, you know, I think we're a little bit more aware than most, because we're in this consciousness. We're having these discussions. And there is a number of alarming stats and facts and things that I hadn't heard of. Like you said, it's just not even in the conversation yet, even to those that are aware. So, you know, how can you expect the people that are distant from this? And here we are with Revolution. It's a movie that has to be seen.
When we talked earlier, you said something interesting, and I've never heard it said like this before. Like you said that as a civilization, some of us have been fighting against something, and you were wanting to turn that around so that we're fighting for something.
Right now, we have no direction as a species. If you look where we're going to be in 100 years, 200 years, 1,000 years, you know, every time humanity's been in this situation in the past, we've fought each other over what remains. And the future we're headed towards is one of lack and starvation and crisis. And I think that's because of a failure of imagination and direction. You know, every revolution that's fought has, you know, won because it had a bright future. It fought for equality. It fought for whales. It did something like that. And right now, our ambitions for the environmental movement are so pitiful, they're not going to call anyone to bat to fight for the world we depend on for survival. No one's going to, you know, leave their jobs or dedicate their lives to reduce emissions by 10% so we can buy ourselves 1% more time on a hugely degraded world. I think we need to imagine what the future could look like if we designed it to be beautiful for us and all species. Like, we're smart enough, we're connected enough, we've got all the technology, we know exactly how to solve these problems. We could create a world that's beautiful for all species, and in doing so, inspire the youth of today to dedicate their lives to this and really create something that's amazing. We should be going to the rivers and the lakes for fish. We shouldn't be shipping frankenfish all over the planet on airplanes. We should be growing food locally. Pollution should be illegal. We shouldn't be negotiating over what quantity of toxic contaminants a corporation is allowed to put into your atmosphere, food, water, and body. That's ridiculous. You know, the future we could create could be amazing. And I think if we started getting young people to think about that, you know, like, what if we got this right? You know, we're smart enough, we can do this. That'll get people to dedicate their lives to it. That'll get people to assign their university degree to that. Not 1% more time in a world with no species left and us eating cockroaches and rats.
No kidding.
Okay, then.
Well said.
You know, one of the interesting thing about movements is is there have been things that have come out that says, you know, do this, this is green, this is good for the environment, or let's have this, and I'm not putting any of this down because I like some of this myself and I just don't know the answer myself, but let's have this festival about this, or let's have this conference about that, and all the people flying in for just that conference and all the water used for all that, and I don't know how else to do it, but when we start to... I'm thinking, okay, so one specific example, like green cars, quote unquote. Well, supposedly, then we learn the batteries aren't biodegradable and it takes so many resources to make them. And it's like, well, what were we, where do you go? What do you do? Who do you listen to?
Yeah, I mean, we've got to get educated ourselves. So, you know, for cars and automotive transportation, for example, like 8% of our emissions is our entire transportation industry. And at least half of the energy used in a car's lifetime is just used in making it. So in many ways, going out there and buying a brand new shiny car that's full of lithium and metals that have ripped all around the world is just maybe more destructive than driving the old car you've got into the ground, or buying a car that might be a collector car that stays on the road forever until we've figured out a simple replacement of an engine. One of the great technological and biological advancements that's happened recently is figuring out that we can capture enough carbon in soil by farming properly to pull all the carbon out of the atmosphere that we've put into it. And the numbers are
really
staggering. Yeah, if you convert 10% of our agricultural area into a kind of farming that's like biodynamic, that concentrates on increasing species diversity and increasing bacteria, you would capture all the carbon in the soil we've put in there and essentially, you know, stop the mass extinction from hitting the oceans and stop climate change. And that's a change that we could do like that if we had the political will and the knowledge and the public support to do it. So in a world like that, we wouldn't be, you know, necessarily all buying new electric cars. We could, you know, we could use the biological capacity of the planet to solve the problem. And we know what we've done wrong, right? So 90% of the big fish are gone. 75% of the forests are gone. 50% of the topsoil in China is gone. If you put that stuff back, you'd capture enough carbon in that life and you'd get the ecosystem services that came with it that, you know, we'd kind of rise above the problem. We wouldn't have to be trying to slow down the fossil fuel.
But how do you put it back? How do you put topsoil back? How do you put the big fish back into the sea? And does somebody have a big tank somewhere with all the big fish? I mean, I know there are aquariums, but...
Yeah.
But
To bring the fish back to the ocean, there's a number of strategies. Right now, we're wasting 54 billion pounds of dead fish every year that's brought out of the ocean and killed and thrown back because it wasn't our target fish. We wanted the more expensive one, so we threw back all these amazing animals.
Killed them and then put them back.
And then put them back, yeah.
Wow.
So if we fished in more sustainable ways, more selective ways, we would, you know, fish, seafood would be more expensive, but we wouldn't be destroying as much. If you set aside part of the ocean as national parks, if 20% of the oceans were parks where you weren't allowed to fish, those would seed the rest of the oceans. That we would have thriving oceans just because you couldn't fish in those kinds of areas.
Really?
If you want to put topsoil back, you know, right now we're treating human waste and sewage as something terrible, as garbage. If you actually used human waste and sewage and like compost, basically, you would capture an enormous amount of life and carbon in soils, and you could put 51% of the topsoil that's gone into the ocean from China back.
It's back to education and awareness. And like you said, the technology exists. And I was thinking about this today. I pulled into a fuel station, and there is a biodiesel pump, which I hadn't seen. It was like the last remaining. And I thought, wow, there was that big movement that was going to, you know, be the next one. But that's because people were looking to the same companies driven by the same profit to grab their attention and shift it slightly so they could continue generating the same profits rather than, you know, somebody that's actually looking at the larger system and there for the right reasons. And I think the more, you know, that this film and your movement and those of us telling the story can get people aware of this, then you can really shift the balance because you have people that aren't tied to those profits that are going to be driving this finally.
And Einstein said, you can't solve a problem at the level of thinking that made it. And we're just sitting there hitting our heads against the biggest problems in the world. and wondering why we're not getting anywhere when we're a tiny, you know, 1% movement that's trying to save the world. We got to pick some battles that we can win. You know, we've got to fight for life. We've got to work with 3.7 billion years of evolution and bolster that stuff. And I think we'll, you know, do a great deal more good than we can.
Who's listening to you that you know of? Is it the kids? Is it the organization? Is it, you know, nonprofit organizations? Is it any corporations?
Yeah, some corporations are listening to us for sure. But the greatest and most profound reaction is with youth. Mm. So if you tell an adult, no matter what their job or profession, about the current state of the world, they might have to go back through their lives and confront a previously consumptive history. Maybe they've already got the cars and the jobs. Maybe they're working for a company that's building stuff that people don't need, that's making garbage. We're a kid, if you tell them our life support system's in jeopardy and to live in a beautiful world, we need to save life. They're like, all right, I'll dedicate my life to it. Let's do it. And so they get in bat right away, and they don't know they can't change the world. They don't know that, you know, governments are a little tricky. They don't know about corruption. So they just go for it and they push it. And often it works. You know, one movement that sprung up after Sharkwater came out was called Fin Free. And these kids around the world just started getting bans on shark fins. And they termed it a shark tsunami because it kept happening country after country after country.
Wow. We're talking to director and producer of Revolution. He's following this up from his success with Sharkwater, The Truth Will Surface. Actually, that could also be a tagline for this film. Or The Truth Has Surfaced. Here it is. Staring us in the face. And thank you so much for bringing it to us in such a beautiful way. We're going to talk a little bit more with him when we come back. But to know more about the film, go to therevolutionmovie.com. Therevolutionmovie.com. You could see the movie there. Or if you're finding this radio show through the Life Changes Network, you could just click on one of the links that we have for therevolutionmovie.com and see it right there, right on the screen through the Yekra platform. We'll be having that conversation when we come back, and music by Michael Vince that I'm sure will align perfectly with our conversation today when we come back.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. We're having a great conversation with director and producer of Revolution. I should also say the protagonist, because you see him throughout the film. Maybe not the protagonist. The protagonist is the problem, right? Or the solution, maybe. I mean, or both. It's neck and neck. We'll see who wins, and we can help it win.
We've got an enormous amount of power, absolutely. I mean, what I've learned in this short movie-making career I've had is that our humanity is our saving grace in all this. We've got feelings for a reason. We love these animals for a reason. And once we understand a problem, our morals engage. And when we reach for something destructive, we feel bad. And when we reach for something good, we feel okay about it. Mm-hmm. And the greatest predictor of our behavior is the expectations of our peers. As soon as our friends and family understand what's going on, when we throw on a fur coat or grab a plastic bag, we feel a little bad about it. And now that's going to change with a lot of our behaviors as we become educated on the bigger scale of things.
Earlier I asked you who's listening to you, and this I didn't expect, and I'm really happy to see that tribute, Sir Richard Branson, Jean-Michel Cousteau, the New York Times, that things have been said. I should just go ahead and say it. This could be the most important movie ever made. That's Bonnie Laufer of Tribute. A stunning adventure, Sir Richard Branson. A must-see, inspirational, and beautiful, Jean-Michel Cousteau. And The Remorseless March of Extinction, including our own, is captured with a chilling clarity in Revolution, New York Times, Jeanette Katsoulis. That one's kind of sad. But at least the New York Times is talking about the film.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there'll be a conversation there.
Yeah, maybe. And Justin Bieber tweeted our movie today.
Nice.
Yeah, big deal.
There you go.
Yeah,
wow.
His fans' future is at stake, for sure. So it's important to get that kind of person involved.
Absolutely.
Wow, I have
important to get
like
every person involved.
All of a sudden, for the man. You started to say some beautiful things, and I'd like to hear more. We talked about how you think maybe humanity needed this challenge.
Yeah, exactly. You know, this is like, it's like being overweight and seeing a mountain in front of you and knowing you got to go to the other side. You know, it's going to be a challenge, but by the time you get to the other side, it's going to be something beautiful. And I think we're going to tackle this challenge. We're not going to eat the very last of a species. We're not going to end up fighting over this. We've got billions of people connected in the biggest conservation movement, the biggest movement ever. And I think in a time when we're stuck on phones and fast cars and golf, and we've been given a system of life that necessitates drugs and television because we're not happy, we have a challenge that humanity's been dying for since it's been around.
Almost, you know, literally.
One that will bring down barriers of gender and race and nationality. You know, we've got to tackle this together because this is all of our fight. You know, if one person has food and the other doesn't, someone's going to come and take their food. We're in this together. We're going to make it or break it. And I think this challenge is going to call out the best in humanity to figure it out. We're going to grow. We're going to evolve. And we're going to usher in a new world. You know, by making this place beautiful, we're going to grow as a species. And I think that's going to be something beautiful to see.
You know, sometimes I have this analogy in my mind where if there were a classroom of children, say 5 or 6 years old, and you give each one of them a treat, and then one child or two children start at opposite ends of the room and they start collecting everybody's treat for themselves. We say to those children, that's not nice. You need to share. And you have to give the treat back, right? We don't let them get away with it. I mean, what kind of a teacher or parent would we be? Well,
Yeah. In
this, what we're talking about is, why could a handful of people go and take not just treats, but livelihood and even life of animals that can't protect themselves and indigenous people who can't protect themselves? Why is that okay?
Yeah,
it's not.
It's not. It's just been disguised as corporations' growth and to bring prosperity to our world. And in many ways, it's been amazing. You know, we've got iPhones. I can pull up my sister's face on the other side of the world right now and see her and her baby. And that's amazing. But my phone contains coltan and has probably caused some wars. So, you know, there's some good and some bad with it. But I think as we understand these problems, we'll help, you know, starve corporations that are doing bad things, and corporate social responsibility will become important. And like, knowing if you're part of a community, and we are part of a global community, if you know the situation that we're in and you choose not to do good in this world and you choose not to make your corporation benefit life or your impact on this planet benefit life, that's crazy. You know, I think people are going to start looking at what the sum total of their lives' impact is going to be. and start to wonder, you know, did I benefit this world or did I destroy it? Did I consume? Did I waste? Or did I make this place better and brighter for the rest of the world and for the future? And I think that's going to be something that'll guide a lot of our decisions.
And the irony of it is so many, you mentioned yourself, so much of the technology that we have, there is actually a way of making them clean or cleaner, a lot cleaner, and a lot more earth-friendly.
I mean, think of the biggest corporations in the world right now. They're making a lot of money. Some of them are making $20 billion a quarter. If you put a little bit of pressure on those companies, pollution, you know, say pollution's illegal, you'd unleash the genius of humanity again to do what they're doing as a corporate citizen, but maybe not destroy the world we depend on for survival. Sure, they'd take a little bit of a financial hit for a while to figure out how to engage in their activities. Like, if you want to manufacture something, don't cut down a mountain and cut down a forest to make that stuff. We've made enough stuff on this planet. Go and find some garbage and make our phones and our goods out of garbage. You know, take the plastic from the oceans. Don't cut down the world we depend on for survival. I think a bit of education can guide us there, and that's a far more beautiful future.
I can't wait to see the commercials for the new garbage phone when it's released. I want the first one. Rob, I'm sure that with the enormity of all the information that you already served up, I'm sure there was stuff that hit the cutting room floor. Is there anything off the top of your head that you know you weren't able to tell her that's also notable, that, you know, because I'm sure there's so much more.
There's so much. I think one thing that's difficult to get in is that you can solve all of these problems together. By saving the environment, you'll solve the issues of hunger and the issues of sanitation and the issues of disease. By bringing nature back, you solve the climate change issue, you solve the water issue. You know, it's kind of one problem that we've got. And if you look at our impact on this planet from 20,000 feet, you know, we're got cancer, a parasite on this planet. And I think, you know, we could be something totally different. Like, why are we settling or aiming for sustainability? You know, if we hit sustainability now, we've still destroyed so much in the past that we're going to live in a degraded world. We should be beneficial. Like, let's get a little more ambitious. Let's make this world beautiful. Let's capture more carbon than we make. Let's make more energy than we use. Let's increase life and capacity. Let's increase species. I think that's something that could be amazing.
I get the feeling that knowing this used to be fringe talk and crazy talk, actually, because this is not the first time this conversation has been had in this century, I'm sure. However, now it the conversation out there, and in great part because of people like you and people like us, and that it's okay to talk about this. Obviously, we need to, but it really is okay. Really, people, it's okay to talk about this.
This is the task of our generation. There's nothing more important than this.
You right.
know, it's important we keep people healthy and happy, too. But, you know, none of that other stuff matters if we have no oxygen in the air that we breathe, if we've got no life left in the oceans. So, you know, but that's amazing. For the first time in history, you know exactly what we need to do. Every kid has an opportunity to be a hero now. We don't have to wonder if we're going to be a secretary or what kind of job we're going to have and what our pastimes are going to be because we're bored. You know, we've got a challenge that's going to call out the best in us. We've got to go to war. We've got to go to battle. And we're going to save life. We're going to save stuff that we love. The birds and the bees and the trees and the tigers and the bears are amazing. And we get to save that stuff. That's an incredible opportunity.
So well said.
I think it was a biologist in your film that said that future generations will definitely not see the coral reef as he has seen them. May that not be true. May it be exactly as you're saying, it's just the opposite. I'd like to have you end with the phrase that you said something about a world we can actually be proud of.
Yeah.
At the end of this.
Yeah, I mean, think of us and our ambitions. We've done some incredible things on this planet. You know, we've gone to the moon. We've gone to the bottom of the ocean. We've created technology. We've united people. We've inspired people. We've cured diseases. But we've ignored something. You know, one of the most important things for us is our life support system. And we've seen the environment as separate from us. And I think by directing some of our intelligence and some of our genius to solving that problem, you know, a small percentage of the planet could tackle this and could fix it. And I think by doing that, we can create a world that's amazing. a world that we're proud of, a world that inspires people to be the best they can be. And by doing that, you know, pulls us out of this stagnation and gives us all a life of meaning.
Well, I saw all the hullabaloo around Sharkwater and all the press and that it was on the news and this and that with the different organizations, and something major was accomplished. So it feels like we're at the beginning. We're having this conversation with you, and then I feel like I hope to see you on television, on the news here, and in New York on the news there, and in Russia with big groups of people, and in China, and just doing what you're doing.
Thanks.
Making it happen. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, for anyone that wants to get involved in changing the world, something beautiful happens when you work for good. The universe aligns behind you. And if anyone believes in karma, you know, doing good for other people is amazing for you and for yourself and for your life. So, you know, make the world a better place.
You're amazing. TheEvolutionMovie.com. Looking forward to updating on all the excitement, letting our audience know exactly what's going on and how we are doing on all of that. Please check in with us again, and please see the movie, TheEvolutionMovie.com. Thank you, Rob. This has been very special.
Thank you very much.
Rob Stewart, everyone. We'll be right back with Michael Vince right after this.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
We are back. Our musical guest is Michael Vince. And, you know, a lot of people might have a hard time following that with music. However, I know we picked the perfect musical guest for today. Michael Mowgli, or Michael Vince, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here, and on this day especially.
Yes. Tell us why on this day especially.
I think I align a lot with what Rob is doing. I definitely believe that there is a certain spirit of altruism that is awakening in the world, and I think that it is our duty as human beings to sort of pursue a higher path for our society, for our communities, and for our families. I think that we have it within us to create a world where abundance is present for every being that walks, not just the humans, including all of the other beings as well, and that is achievable. So I think we should shoot for it. Maybe it won't be in our lifetime, but if we start working now, maybe in a few generations.
Well, speaking of working, I know some of the communities in which you work, and I know that is the end goal as well, or one of them. So your music also aligns with that. So looking forward to hearing what you've prepared for us today. What are we going to hear first?
This first song is called Make It Rain, and a few days ago it was actually featured with the Liberty Hill Foundation. They're doing some work to end like air pollution in Los Angeles. There's quite a few refineries that are polluting a lot of the air for a lot of neighborhoods, and this video that they used the song for was a spotlight on a few young leaders in the community who are sort of really affecting policy. And and so it's cool to be playing this song today with you guys with this theme. It's just like, Rob was just speaking earlier about how when you do good things, the universe sort of aligns to help you do them. We call it pronoia. The universe is conspiring in your favor. And I feel like there's a little bit of that happening right now.
Amen to that. Well, mm-hmm. in a drought situation in California, let's make it rain right now.
All right.
Thank you. days I think that I was made to make a difference, and I live like the revelation was the big bang of my existence. But I am only the same if you know me today. My foundation was changing before I was made, and I say, let's make it rain. And I see what the black rock is. I see a conference of mystics who pray to hold forces that pay us responsible for all the bullshit. Keeps our minds in our bodies, so we think we'll need the money. And all we need is each other and the will to change society. Hey. Let's make it rain. Yeah, I say let's dose the government's allies and all their armies. We can come together and overthrow them with geometry. And when everyone can see that truth is synchronicity, we will all fall to our knees and cry, oh, the humanity. Hey, let's let them hang. Yeah, or burn them at the stake. Let's make them pay for every credit card they made to make us slaves. We know what it's like to be deprived of inalienable rights. And when the gasoline runs dry, open the flower of life. And I say, let's make it ring. Yeah, let's wash away the stains. Let's forgive every sin that we've committed. Let's be insane. Start again with a new standard. We all deserve a shelter. The bottom line should be humans based upon goodness. Hey. Let's make it rain. Let's make it rain. Let's make it rain. We are blessed, so fortunate to be alive and cleaning up our mess. When every problem that we have can be resolved in love and willingness. And you can see the possibilities for life on Earth in highest samadhis. Make the shift in your reality. Drop the veil and open up heaven's gate, yeah. Let's make it rain. Let's make it rain. Let's make it rain. Let's make it rain! Let's make it rain! Let's make it rain! Let's make it rain! Yeah, let's wash away the stains. Let's forgive every crime that we've committed. Let's be insane and start again with a new standard. We all deserve some Medicare. The bottom line should be humans. Based upon benevolence. Let's make it rain. Let's make it rain. Let's make it rain.
Yeah, so that song could have been in the movie. Yeah, Michael Vince, thank you so much. For people that want to get a hold of Michael, they can find him on Instagram and on Twitter at Michael Mowgli, actually. Michael Mowgli, M-O-W-G-L-I. Michael is just like it sounds, Mowgli, M-O-W-G-L-I, on Instagram and Twitter. And you can also find him on Facebook by the same name. You can actually email him at michaelmowgli@gmail.com. Michael, are your CDs or is this music available yet?
I actually, the Make It Rain song is available. I think it's libertyhill.org/makeitrain right now for the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Wow.
And then they're taking it down, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So if you want to go grab it, it's a demo version of the track, but it's still cool.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, they also heard it here.
Yeah.
Live from Studio NoHo in beautiful, where are we? North Hollywood?
North Hollywood.
Well, I feel like I'm in the universe with the conversations we've been having. It's like, it's not even about where we're here. It's about everybody and everywhere. What are we going to hear next, Michael?
All right. So this is a track called Calling All Lovers, and it definitely is. Hold on. Ooh.
Yeah, you were sounding like an E.T. there.
Uh-huh.
For
yeah. It's this fun robot I brought
right.
with me. This is a song called Calling All Lovers, and it's definitely with respect to the spirit of revolution. So.
All right. Calling All Lovers, Michael Vince.
You read my words and you thought they were absurd. Yeah, that I was idealistic and that love would never work. And maybe you were right or just so simply satisfied. Yeah, but you can't fix the problem if you're too afraid to try. La 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 la, laugh it up to nothing. Maybe someday you'll see something. Yeah, changes your perspective. Yeah, tells you what the wave meant. Open your eyes. Yeah, we've still got time. Yeah, we could be the difference, yeah. We could end the suffering. And all we need is one, yeah, just one drop, just enough to wet the tongue, and let a homily ring out of every talking mouth. The revolution will happen in your heart. They say that it's so easy to forget. Yeah, one day epiphany, and the next you go right back. And it's hard to ascertain, yeah, when you're American, when you're bred to be entitled, born to consume everything. And you're taught we're not the same, yeah, that we're a better race, yeah, that all the other countries don't deserve the things we waste. And to burn up all the oil, let the rich keep all the spoils, and let all the thirsty people keep drinking dirty water. And maybe there's no hope, maybe we deserve to fall, maybe everything we've done just needs to feel the weight of consequence. And yeah, we're on a cusp, and all that matters now is how we act today. How will we affect tomorrow? And all we need is one, yeah, just one drop, just enough to wet the tongue, and let a homily ring out of every talking mouth. The revolution will happen in your heart. The revolution will happen in your heart.
your heartbeat out the essence of trust. Let every action that you make have some intention to serve the greater good. Oh, yeah, we are, we are.
Michael Vince, Calling All Lovers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Another song that could have been used in the film, The Revolution movie. Wow, amazing. What a perfect fit. If you want to know more about Michael, am I also sounding like I'm from another? I've got my headphones on. Okay, if you want to know how you can get a hold of Michael or see where you're going to be performing next, actually, you do some performances at Full Circle, I know, because you were recommended to us by Andrew Keegan. So big shout out to Andrew and thank you. That's actually how we met you the first time. So you could go to Michael Mowgli at Instagram or Michael Mowgli on Twitter. And you'll also find his Facebook page there, or you could just write him, michaelmowgli@gmail.com, MOWGLI@gmail.com. If you'd like to hear him live, he'll tell you where he's going to be until he gets his website back up. In the meantime, we are so grateful to both Michael Vincent and our guest, Robert Stewart. This is Rob Stewart. This has been an amazing show. On behalf of our co-host, Mark Lejeure, our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, our engineer, Brent Hahn, here at Studio NoHo, and our network executive, Doug Newsom, I am Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you, as your life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at the Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.